Luke chapter number 8. I got several things working in my heart. Several different directions to go concerning this matter of going. Go in the gospel. But we're just going to begin here and just bring, I guess, an introductory message or just a message to get us started. Luke chapter number 8, beginning in verse 22. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us," what? Oh, is not that our word? You don't have to read much in the Bible till you'll find the word go, because it's actually in the Bible 1,370 times. So I think the Bible is about going. I think being saved is about going. And the word go, a lot of people don't like it because it's a word of action. It's a word of motion. It's a word of movement. Amen. If you're going, you're moving. Amen. A lot of people don't like that. He said, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake," and they launched forth. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived." I like that. Verse 22, they launched. Verse number 26, they landed. Anytime God has you launching, He's got a destination He expects to land you. And when He launches you in the direction of His will, there's no storm big enough to stop it. Amen. No storm big enough to bring a halt to the plan of God. I like that. "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Driven. People that's lost without God, right there's the verse that lets you know who's in the driver's seat. You may not be aware of it, and you may think you're making your choices, but the truth is you're being driven. You're being driven. You're being controlled. When I drive a car, the car does not go where it wants to go. The car goes where the driver wants to go. So if you're being driven by the devil, you're not going where you want to go. You're going where he wants to go. Well, that's just a little side thought there. Verse 30, "And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go. Ah, another time in our text. To go out into the deep. And there were there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. Now that don't make sense to me. Jesus just did what they could not do. What their reformation couldn't do. What their religion couldn't do. What their restraints couldn't do. Here Jesus did with His power. And you would have thought that they would have said, hey, He is our answer. He can heal this man or save this man. Just think what He can do in our town. And you would have thought they would have said, Jesus, follow us. We have sons and daughters that need You. We have neighbors that need You. We have friends that need You. But instead, they said, get. Depart. We don't want you around. You know why? There's more interest in swine than they were sinners. They're more interested in the finances than they were somebody else's forgiveness of sins. But anyway, let's read on. They besought Him to depart from them in verse 37, for they were taken with great fear. He went up into the ship and returned back again. Jesus, if you want Him to leave you alone, just ask Him. You'd be a fool to do it, but now just, if you want Him to leave you alone, just tell Him, ask Him, and buddy, He'll get back in the ship and return. He's a gentleman. He'll not force Himself on you. He'll deal with you. He'll call you. He'll speak. He'll invite, but He'll never make and force. Amen. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed, verse 38, besought Him that he might be with him. Oh, yes. That other crowd was saying, Jesus, get away from us. But the man that was healed said, Jesus, I want to go with you. It is the desire of everybody that gets saved to want to go with Jesus. Getting saved, change your attitude toward Jesus. Amen. Come on now. Getting saved changes your attitude toward sin. Changes your attitude toward self. Changes your attitude toward the Scriptures and the sanctuary. Amen. It changes your attitude toward the world. It changes your attitude all the way around about everything. What you was against, you're now for. And what you was for, you're now against. He changes you. Here's a man that at one time would have wanted nothing to do with Jesus because they were direct opposites. But now that he's saved, he wants to be with Him. Wants to be like Him. Wants to go with Him. Watch this. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went, this is just a little side point right here. He said, go show what great things God has done. Then look at it, reads later in the verse. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus. Jesus had done unto him. That's not a contradiction. Jesus is God, and there's you a great proof text to show that. He said, God, go show what God's done, and then he went declaring what Jesus had done. Amen. That wasn't a mistake. That was a divine commission. Well, there's a lot of things we could say, and don't have a heart attack tonight. I'm probably not even going to get to this actual story as far as the message tonight. But our theme for this month is, and I hope that it's more than just a theme for a month, I hope it becomes a principle of life, go is in the gospel. Now, I'm just being honest with you. Everybody, regardless to age, regardless to where or what country you're in, when you get saved, you're automatically called to go. Now, there's a general call that calls every saved person to be a witness. Don't ever come and say, preacher, pray for me that I'll be a witness. Now, you can pray that I'll be a good witness and not a bad witness, but everybody that's saved is then and there automatically a witness, because a witness is somebody that knows something. Amen. A witness that's called into a court case is not somebody that's going to stand up and give an opinion, that's going to say, well, I heard, or I thought, or I felt like. No. They're going to say, tell us what you know. What do you know firsthand? So everybody that's saved has got the general call on your life to go. Now, underneath that general call, there are times that a specific call will come. You have a general call, and then you have a special call or a specific call where God will call people to go to certain places. Where God will call people to go to, maybe it is that God would put it on your heart to go and witness to a specific person. Are you listening? When's the last time God put it on your heart to go talk to somebody? When's the last time you had a burden and had a desire and you knew, like that lady I shared her that I was on the phone with yesterday, she said, preacher, the Lord would not leave me alone about that woman. She said, I was troubled about that woman all the time, and I knew that I was going to have to go. Amen. Boy, we need that, don't we? We need that. But the word go, and I'll deal with this if I can get to it, but three times in this story, if you look at Matthew's account, Mark's account, and Luke's account of this, three times you find the word go is given in this story. And actually, the story wraps itself around all three of those goes. And I'll give them to you if I can get to that. But I just want to introduce our thought of go is in the gospel. If you were here Sunday, brother, or will be here this Sunday, Brother Chuck, if Jesus don't come, amen. I don't know who will play it if Jesus comes, amen. But we have a PowerPoint that we'll be showing up here that shows that G-O, is in the gospel. You can't even spell gospel if you take go out of it. In fact, if you take go out of it, all you've got left is a spell, amen. And that's a spell the devil would like to cast on everybody, is to take the go out of you. He doesn't care what you profess. He don't care what church you go to or how big of a King James Bible you haul around. He don't care as long as there's no G-O. What good is the gospel without go? What good is the great news of the gospel without the word go? I tell you how powerful the gospel is. You don't have to scotch it up. You don't have to prop it up. Hey, amen. It'll stand on its own 2 feet. Praise God. But here's what Paul said in Romans 1 and 16. J. Harold Smith opens it up every broadcast of the Radio Bible Hour and has been for many, many years. And that is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel. What good is the gospel if all it is a story in a Bible? Did you know that probably, and I don't know how we could get the accurate statistics on it, but did you know that more than likely the majority of the population on planet Earth has never heard the gospel? They may have heard a gospel. They may have heard the gospel of the Muslim faith, and they may have heard a gospel of of other religions, but there's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. Are you listening? Listen what Mark 16 and verse 15 says, our commission. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. And by the way, let me just insert something right here. Everybody that gets saved, that is being said to. Now, I know what you're thinking. I mean, it's easy to see it and feel this. Preacher, I'm just one person. I'm just one little individual hid out here in Hawkins County in Rogersville, Tennessee. What can I do? 250 some odd countries in this world, places we will live and die and never visit, never our presence will enter into the borders of those countries. How is it, preacher, that I am to carry out what God commissions me individually to do? Name but one way to do that, and that's through missions. Because Brother Shoemaker on Sunday morning that we had and took on, as he goes, my friend, as he goes to Burkina Faso, I get it? Burkina Faso, West Africa, likely we'll never go there, but as he goes, an extension, an arm of the church, thank God, God will account those that sit and those that went to have a share in the reward. You can't beat a deal like that. Missionaries went to the field that don't have running water, electricity, no air conditioning. Are you listening? I mean, all kinds of adverse situation. And here I am on the sending end. Hallelujah. Air conditioning, running water, praise God, inside plumbing. And I get to share in the reward. Because you know the truth is, those that go cannot sow without those that send. Some's got to go and sow while others stay and send. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory, I felt something on that. Well, and we're going to talk more about that as we go along. And then you have the word goes in the name God. Two-thirds of the word, the name God is go. And I mean, this Bible is full of the activity of God. Where He's going. I mean, He's going. I mean, just constantly moving. One thing God never does is put it in neutral. God is always active concerning you. Amen. And there was a day, you know, that God, who is a spirit, and man can't see a spirit. That's why the Bible said that no man has seen God at any time. Now, you can't see a spirit. Are you listening? But a little over 2,000 years ago, God became flesh. The express image of God's person. God stepped into a body so we could see Him. God stepped into a body so we could see Him. And guess what we find through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We find God going all the time. I like one in John 4 when he says, I must needs go through Samaria. Glory. Well, amen. Y'all feel something on that? I did. Amen. Go is in the gospel and in God. God and the gospel is all about us going. Amen. I think if we're not going and through missions, and if we're not going through personal witnessing, hey, come on now, then we are failing both God and the gospel. Well, let me give you this. I thought about this. I was coming down the road the other day. A red light. Everybody knows about a red light. Traffic light. Now, you know it's spiritual when you see God, something spiritual in a traffic light. I mean, you'll be surprised what you can see God in if you try to look through spiritual eyes and ask God to help you see. Amen. Right, Lord, let me see. I got to thinking about a traffic light. Top, you have the red light. I call that the no. N-O. The no of the gospel. I had to write it down so it didn't wreck. The red light is the no of the gospel. I'll give them to you and I'll go back and deal with them. The next light underneath that is what? Yellow. That is the woe of the gospel. And then, of course, green is the go of the gospel. How many people is at that first one? They've got the gospel. But they're not moving. They're just stopped. They're just halted. Not that God stopped you. Not that God said, now that don't go witness that person. Don't you dare give that person a track. God's not one that's going to put the red light on you. No. If you're acting in the no gospel, no, N-O, N-O, red light, stop. If you've got to stop in this thing of evangelism, you're the one that put it there. The devil put it there. God won't put a red light in your life concerning the gospel. So there's the red light of the gospel. The red light is the no part. Boy, how many people is living their life, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to witness. No, I'm not going to hand a tract. No, I'm not going to get involved in faith promise missions. Come on. Then the yellow light is the woe of the gospel. Now, what do you think about the yellow light? That's where a lot of people are too. Most people, and it's the majority, is at the red one. They're just not doing nothing. The majority of the church today, I'm talking about the church in general, the body of Christ, the majority is doing nothing. A very small percentage of the average church is doing anything for the Lord. I mean, that's just the way it's always been. I don't believe it's the will of God. That's the way it's always been. They're at that red light. They're at the no, no gospel, no. Are you listening? The yellow light is the woe. Yellow light, you're not stopped. You're just preparing to stop. The yellow light is that, whoa, you're slowing down. Well, you know what? Times are hard. I think I'm just not going to give to missions this year. Hey, watch out for them yellow lights. Better watch them yellow lights. Amen. That yellow light's letting you know that you're fixing to get a red light. If you're operating in the realm of the yellow right now, which is just a medium, just a middle ground, you're not really going nor you're not really stopping. You're just getting ready to go from going to stopping. Amen. And how many in our churches today, how many that are here tonight, how many that are not here tonight, that really is operating in that yellow zone, they're in that woe gear. They're slowing down. They're not speeding up. They're not trying to stay with it. They don't have their foot on the gas. They've got their foot going from the gas pedal to the brake pedal. Say amen right there. Y'all see it? So there's the red light, the no of the gospel. There's the yellow light. That's the woe of the gospel. You're losing momentum in that gear. You're not interested in going on. You're making preparations to slow down and stop. That's only one gear away from the red light, so you better be careful when you start seeing that yellow zone actions in your life, just letting you know that the next one's going to be red light and you're just going to be stopped. You're just not going to be doing nothing. You're not going to be going nowhere. And I was thinking today, how many people, I weren't thinking of individuals because there's too many of them, how many people over the past 18 years has come in this church or either got saved or whatever, boy, act like it's on fire for the Lord, and then they fizzled out. I was praying today. I was weed eating and it 100,000 degrees, and I said, Lord, I said, it's you that has kept me with any kind of spunk and joy and drive. I said, Lord, I have been so disappointed in so many people that get saved and they start out and man, they've got their foot on the gas and they've got the green light and it's everything go, preacher, praise God, preach it to me. If it's in that Bible, I want to know it. If it's in that Bible, I want to do it. Oh, preacher, don't hide nothing. Don't withhold nothing. Let's go, preacher. It's wonderful to be saved. It's good to know the Lord. And then all of a sudden, then they start missing Sunday school. And then they start missing Sunday night. And then I'm not talking about people, Brother Jones, I'm not talking about people sick. I'm talking about people just plain out stinking sinful and lazy and got their eyes off of the green light and moving into that yellow zone, and they're slowing down and their mind isn't on the destination, their mind isn't on the things of God, and they're not fired up like they once were. Amen. But you say, preacher, don't get too bent out of shape, preacher. I'm at least still moving in it yellow. I'm not interested in you just moving. A car slowing down is still moving. Foot off the gas and on the brake, you're still moving. I'm not interested in somebody just moving. Neither is God interested in you just moving. God wants to know, are you accelerating? How fast you going now compared to how fast you were going? Woo! The yellow. Watch out for that yellow. And if you're like me, I hate to stop. I hate red lights. I hate stop signs. I hate them. Of course, if they weren't there, we'd all, probably none of us be here tonight. Amen. We'd already be in with Jesus. Amen. I mean, come on now. I know how you are. But if we'd be that way spiritually, at every way in the world, Brother Clifford, to a boy, getting, no, I ain't getting stopped at red light. In fact, come on now. I know we can put a little spirituality in this carnal illustration. But Brother Mike, when the yellow light comes on for most of us, we're not hunting a break. Come on now. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about the way they ought to do. I'm preaching, all right? We're in church. Amen. I'm talking about, brother, when we get in that, we see that yellow zone coming into our life and everything around you saying, slow down and pull your foot off the gas and quit going so fast and prepare to stop. No matter what church you go to, no matter what preachers you're preaching, no matter about missions and souls, prepare to stop. God, help us to be like we are in the natural. And that is a yellow light. Whoa! Take that right. Come on, Brother Mike. Am I in the house? I mean, when the yellow light comes on, oh no, if I stop, that's going to be 10 or 5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever. Most of us are running right on the nose of time anyhow. I am anyway. And all, I hate them red lights. So when them yellow light, that yellow condition comes into your life, Let me give you a piece of advice. You're fixing to stop. You're getting ready to stop. Shaw preacher, not me. No, not me. I go to Rogersville Baptist Temple. No, I'd never stop. Not me, preacher. You would be shocked, and I probably would be too, if we knew the condition that some of our church members are in, spiritually and mentally and emotionally. I mean, what little bit I know, I'm telling you what's the truth. I have to stay focused. I mean, just what I know, and I don't know a lot about too many and don't want to know unless there's just a burden there that you want me to know. But I'm telling you, friend, just what I know is, so I thought, my stars, they're on our pews. They're listening to me preach, and they're in our church, and they said yes to the church covenant. They said yes, I agree with how I am supposed to live. Then I get up and preach about that yellow light. I may have not have ever mentioned it until tonight, but I preached about it. And they'll sit back there and sleep and sit back there and fool around, not even listen, never go to the altar, never see God convicting them. You know what's happening? If they even know the Lord, and it's questionable in my heart about some that I have in my mind right now, it's whether they even know Jesus. But they're preparing, they're getting ready to stop. And here's what I've experienced and what I come to believe, that if you're stopped in one direction, it's because you're fixing to make a turn. Because usually a red light, oh, come on now. Usually a red light is at a crossroad. Usually a red light is a place of option. You can go straight ahead or turn. So, and Brother Brian, it's hard to turn when you're going 70. Say amen right there, praise God. I'm talking about the speed limit 70. Amen. I mean, buddy, it ought to be full steam ahead. It ought to be the pedal to the metal. It ought to be focused. I mean, hammer down. Forward we go. And when the devil says, slow down right here so you can turn and go a different direction, you'll say, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast. Woo! Ain't that a good illustration? Oh, no, devil, you might as well talk to somebody else. There ain't no way I can make that turn. Oh, no, I've done been on this road too long to turn on that road. Amen. 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 And if you'll notice, come on, let's stay with the illustration. If you'll notice, Brother Silas, when you come to that light where you've got an opportunity to turn, if you'll notice, most of those times there's somebody already been out that road and they're trying to come and turn on our road. Now, good common sense would tell me that I don't need to go that road there. They've been on that road and they're trying to get off that road and they've got their signal on to get on my road. And that's what's in our mind when we're preaching about that road of sin and that path of sin, and stay off of it. Stay on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Don't listen to the call of the wild to go and explore what is out that road. I wonder where that road goes. I wonder where that road goes. But you'll notice that a lot of them roads, it turns off at a red light. And you got to slow down, get slow to turn. So just don't slow down. Spiritually, just don't slow down. Wide open. Straight ahead. Amen, young people. I mean forward. Wide open. Pass me up. Amen. Somebody in your way? Pray for them. Come on, that's right. Don't get behind somebody, a friend that's driving about 10 miles an hour in a 70 miles an hour zone. poking around, piddling around, and piddling around, not interested in going nowhere, and not interested in getting nowhere. If you're not careful, you'll fall in behind them and their pace. Oh, come on. Their pace will become your pace. And what happens to you is that when you get behind somebody that's slowing down, and Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, he said, as long as I am wide open, as long as I'm green light, as long as I'm going with the gospel, fall in behind, praise God, let's go. But he's also saying in that illustration, if I start slowing down or turn or detour, don't follow me. Amen. So we didn't really get far tonight, but just dealt with, I guess, the red light of the gospel. The red light of the gospel, I guess. That wasn't what I was going to preach. I was wanting to get this story, but I knew I wouldn't get there. So I'm going to stop right there and just let that sink in, I guess.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.